Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is preparing an environmental impact statement for the proposed Pebble Mine. Alaska Public Media reports that the Walker administration is asking for more time to comment on the proposed gold and copper mine, which would sit upstream from Bristol Bay. Governor Bill Walker has said he doesn't support the mine and believes the priority should be on the region's salmon. The Corps announced a scoping period that would last the month of April. During those 30 days, the Corps plans to identify the areas and concerns it will focus on in its environmental study. Alaska Natural Resources Commissioner Andy Mack is asking that the scoping period be 3 or 4 months. In a letter to the Alaska commander of the Army Corps of Engineers, Mack said a 30-day scoping period is not adequate for the scale of the project. Mack described it as an open-pit mine a mile across near the headwaters of the most prolific salmon fishery in the world, unquote. The Pebble Limited Partnership says it's committed to minimal impact and that its latest design incorporates new environmental safeguards. Chinese officials are touring the route of a proposed Alaska natural gas pipeline. Chinese government and energy officials are investigating the project in cooperation with the state of Alaska in anticipation of investing in construction of the $43 billion gas line. Speaking in Fairbanks yesterday, Alaska Governor Bill Walker said the Chinese contingent is taking in the breadth of the project route from the North Slope to Cook Inlet.
They're what's called the due diligence group. They're over here looking at the North Slope where the gas is, looking at the route, looking at the terminal site. They're looking at some of the infrastructure we have in Alaska. It's just the next step of them getting comfortable with where they want to do business.
Walker says the group of 39 Chinese officials began the trip with meetings in Anchorage earlier this week.
Discussions with the Department of Natural Resources, Department of Environmental Conservation, etc., and then up to the slope to actually look at the facilities. Half of them are headed to Fairbanks by bus because they wanted to see the route and what to expect. Then they'll go down to the Kenai Peninsula, look at the LNG terminal that's there now, the former ConocoPhillips, now Tesoro. And they're going to go over to Seward and go to the Avtec facility where they have a ship simulator for, I'm assuming they're going to drive a LNG ship.
Also this week, the Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation, or AGDC, announced that the Bank of China and Goldman Sachs have agreed to coordinate financing for the gas line and that the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission has released a schedule for environmental review of the project. Governor Walker describes the developments as key to a go or no-go decision in the 2020 timeframe.
The final investment decision is really the critical piece when you know you're going to have a project. But these are pieces that are necessary to get to that.
AGDC, Chinese leaders, and energy companies signed an agreement in November to investigate an Alaska gas line project under which China would be granted a portion of the line's capacity in exchange for helping to finance its construction. Calling it one of the most interesting he's seen in the Alaska legislature, Governor Walker says this week's narrow cross-party and caucus vote in the state house to set this year's permanent fund dividend check at $2,700 points to the need for a formula to provide for dividends and state government.
There's no question we need to use some of the earnings for the operation of government. There's no question about that. So we're hope that it will result in a structure of some sort that can be followed in the future.
Walker says he's concerned dividends will be jeopardized if money to cover deficits is pulled in an unstructured way from permanent fund earnings in the future. Walker, who 2 years ago cut dividend checks in half in face of a massive state deficit, will not say whether he'll veto a large dividend if the House and Senate approve one this year.
I tend to not foretell what I would do on vetoes until it comes to my desk. Sometimes other things are appended to it, and so sometimes something starts out one way. When it gets to my desk, it looks very, very different. So I tend to reserve my judgment until I see it on my desk.
The House has not taken any action on the budget since Monday's dividend vote. It's part of larger negotiations on the operating budget. The Senate has to consider whatever plan is eventually forwarded to it by the House. Less than 3 weeks remain in the regular legislative session. A new company is taking charge of what could be one of the biggest future oil developments in Alaska. Oil Search is entirely new to the state, but the company argues its experience in a tropical island nation will come in handy as it starts work in the Arctic. The Alaska Energy Desk's Elizabeth Harbel reports.
On a chunk of state and native-owned land west of Prudhoe Bay, one company thinks there might be over 1 billion barrels of recoverable oil. The state of Alaska thinks it's a very big deal. Here's Natural Resources Commissioner Andy Mack.
This probably ranks third behind Prudhoe Bay and Kuparuk.
Mack says that alone could reverse the long-term decline in the amount of oil flowing down the Trans-Alaska pipeline.
Lead to not only flattened production, but also increased production.
So last fall, when a company a lot of Alaskans hadn't heard of moved to take over developing this oil field, it got people's attention. Oil Search is a company based in Papua New Guinea, a country just south of the equator and just north of Australia. The newly minted president of Oil Search Alaska, Kieran Wolf, says the company is serious about its new venture.
We see Alaska as a place of enormous opportunity.
Wolf says Oil Search's first planned development in Alaska could represent a major investment for the company, in the range of $4 to $6 billion. The company bought a significant stake in the project last year from its main partner, Denver-based Armstrong Oil and Gas. And last week, Oil Search officially took over as operator of the field. It might not seem like Papua New Guinea and Alaska have much in common, but Wolf says his company sees a lot of similarities.
Papua New Guinea is one of the most challenging places to work on the planet. It's very remote, very mountainous. There are no roads. There is no infrastructure to speak of. And everything has to be brought in on helicopters and such.
Beyond logistics, Wolf says Oil Search also has experience negotiating with local communities.
Very passionate about their environment, very passionate about their way of life. And that's something you've got to respect and be very cognizant of.
Wolf says Oil Search's discussions with Nuiqsut, the community closest to the company's first planned development, are still in their infancy. And that's not the only issue that needs to be ironed out. Oil Search wants to drill a few more appraisal wells to get a better idea of how much oil it's actually sitting on. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Elizabeth Harbaugh in Anchorage.
And I'm Dan Bross.